Broadcasting live from the Lower Roswell Road in South Marietta Zaxby's Studios in Cobb County, it's time for Cobb Business Radio, spotlighting and highlighting business leaders in our area.
Hello, 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 once again, and Happy New Year. It is the top of the year, and me and my great friend, my beautiful co-host, Leif Harrison, we are here.
Hi, Marcus.
2016, how are you?
Absolutely.
Yes,
this is Happy New Year.
Marcus.
Yes.
From Juice Atlanta, www.juiceatlanta, and we will take care of all your juicing needs this year. So if you need juices, fresh pressed juices, let us know.
Yeah.
So how are you, Leif?
I'm fine.
Your New Year starting off?
It's absolutely great. And so this year is all about self-love and self-care.
That's absolutely right. A lot of self-love.
Yep.
So you got your goals down.
Yeah.
You got your resolutions.
I don't believe in resolutions.
Okay.
I just believe in improvement, goals, and really just doing what I really want to do.
Okay. So you checked off anything on your goal list yet?
No, just, getting started.
I checked off a few things.
I know. I saw you are running half marathons out here. How about that?
Half marathon. I'm super excited. That was like one of
Congrats.
The top things on my goal.
Yeah, I'm super
on
impressed.
My goal list. So I was excited about that.
Yeah.
Super excited.
You're my true inspiration.
Man, I'm just trying to be better, a better version of myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So who do we have with us today?
You're
we got
glowing,
a special guest.
Actually. Yeah, very special
That's just
guest.
The lotion you just gave me.
You're smelling good too, actually.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so our special guest today is Caitlin Sampson. She's the owner and founder of True Food and Wellness in Smyrna, Georgia. And you and her have a lot of stuff in common.
Yes, I'm reading right now.
She is a nine-time
marathoner. I'm trying to be like her.
Yes.
So 2017, I'm gonna get there.
Okay.
This year is about the half.
Half. All right. So welcome. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into this running marathon thing? It's obviously not easy since, Marcus is training for it. And I follow him on Facebook and I can see his progress. So he's putting a lot of time and effort into that.
It is challenging. So I understand Marcus, it's a process.
26 miles. I only did 13. There's 13.2, right? Half marathon, right?
26.
Hers marathon is 26 miles.
0.2. Don't forget that point.
You got to put the point two in there.
That counts. That's the hardest.
A lot.
So imagine.
Yeah.
I know. A question. The brick wall. So I used to always hear this thing about the brick wall, but I definitely felt the brick wall. So I know what that is. So you hit the brick wall before?
I haven't.
You haven't?
You feel like you're getting close at mile 20, but if you're well nourished and you've got
that hydration.
You can keep going.
Yeah.
It's all a mental game at that point.
Man, it's definitely mental.
Yeah.
It's definitely mental. But it was awesome, though. But 9 times marathoner. Oh, I'm trying to be like you when I grow up.
When is the last one, the last one you did?
Oh, gosh. Probably was about 3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Since I went back to school for nutrition and it just got a little too crazy to fit everything in. So I haven't. I still run, but haven't trained for a marathon in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hit number 10 eventually.
Yeah.
So I'll get there. I think so. I miss it.
I have a friend, one of my friends from the gym, she flew out to Houston, I think today or tomorrow, and she's going to do a marathon in Houston, her first one.
Wow, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm so excited for her. And she was really nervous. She's been training and everything. And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, no, you got this. I've been watching what you've been doing and she's going to be great.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
For sure. And if you can do a half, you can do a full.
Yeah.
My sister always used to say, don't even do a half. Just don't tease yourself.
Just train
for the full thing. So I never did a half before I did a full.
Oh, really?
So just go for it.
Oh, man, I'm out here taking baby steps.
That's awesome.
Okay.
That's awesome.
So she's not just a 9-time marathoner either.
No, she's not.
She has a lot of accolades here. She's also a nutritionist. So what made you want to become a nutritionist?
Oh, gosh. Well, kind of a long story. I'll try to keep it short here.
We have a lot of time.
Ever since I was little, looking back, I had significant health issues. When I was about 5 years old, I remember, waking up. And I'm from Buffalo, New York, so it is cold there. But I would have this joint pain in my hands and my knees. And we just thought, it's the cold weather, this is what
Simple
I have to live with,
Right. Yes.
and I will say now I don't have that at all. So I know that it was improved with improving my nutrition. But when I was about 16 years old, I had this pain in the center of my abdomen for about a year. And my parents, we just thought it was like acid reflux or indigestion. Mm. So we just take the Maalox and I'd feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
But after a year of dealing with that, it got so bad that I woke up at about like 2 a.m. one day, just throwing up, couldn't stop, went up to my mom and said, you know, Mom, I've just been throwing up. I'm not feeling any better. Mm-hmm. And she called the doctor. He said, it's probably her appendix. So take her into the emergency room. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't my appendix. It was actually that my gallbladder was full of sludge, they said. And one of the stones was passing through into my pancreas, causing pancreatitis.
Oh, wow.
They said,
oh,
if you would have waited any longer, you would have been dead. I mean, it was so painful. My mom probably will never forget that moment of me just like crouched over, like I couldn't move. Wow. It was awful.
And at that point, you just really wish it could just go away. Whatever you have to do, just
give me the pain meds, whatever. You know. Yeah.
So was it at that point that you went full steam ahead with like changing your nutrition and becoming more healthy, or?
I wish.
Or did it take a little time?
It took time. Yeah. You know, I had the gallbladder out and went just ate what I normally was eating still.
Mm-hmm. And you were still young, too. So you were still far from really educating yourself, probably.
Oh, big time. Mm-hmm. No one ever said, what are you eating? Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up on a farm, ate lots of fruits and vegetables. We never went out to eat. Mm-hmm. But I was having a lot of foods that I was sensitive to that I didn't know till years later. So I still dealt with, you know, anxiety and digestive issues and joint pain. So I'd be running these marathons and some pretty significant pain, you know, from this. I almost think it was probably rheumatoid arthritis, really, that I had. So running helped a lot with stress management and those kinds of things. But I still had a lot of those health issues, the digestive issues and whatnot. What it took was actually not getting my menstrual cycle for a year. Mm. And my mom said, you got to go back to the doctor and figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, you probably have polycystic ovarian syndrome. They did some scans and saw that there's, you know, quite a few cysts on my ovaries. And they said, you know, here's some birth control. This is pretty much all we can do for you.
Oh.
Well, I felt like I was going to jump out of my skin at work. I thought I was going to kill somebody. It was like, just not my normal self. Mm. And I thought, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah.
And my sister said, you know, why don't you come to this, see this nutritionist with me? He's helped me so much. And I said, I will do anything at this point. Yeah. I can't take this birth control. I feel like I'm losing my mind and I don't know what else to do. So I went to see him and I said, I will follow exactly what he tells me to do because that's how bad I want to get better. I was so motivated. And I knew that physically I'd see that sign of getting my menstrual cycle back if what I was doing was working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And 8 weeks later, it came back and it's been regular since.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
He helped me clean up my diet and that just, boom, that just motivated, got me going. And I'm like,
your system back to natural functioning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got the junk out. I thought, you know, when I saw him, he would be like, oh, your diet's perfect. Yeah. Oh, no. He was circling. And foods I thought were healthy just were not right for my body.
Well, what were some of those? And I know we're all different, but what were some of those things that he like eliminated from your diet?
Artificial sweeteners.
Okay.
Number one. Big one.
Huge.
I believe it.
And absolutely. I was a sugar addict. Huge sugar addict. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was the kid that would come home from school and grab the white sugar and that was like Kool-Aid packets mixing together.
Me
too. Straight up sugar.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not the only one. Everyone always looks at me like I'm crazy.
I can show you a whole neighborhood.
So those were two main things. Yeah. And then eventually I started to be more aware of the dairy in my diet and the wheat in my diet and how those were affecting my health too. And it was a slow progression, but I was just able to just clean up all of that and have great energy. That was another thing. I never had energy. Always felt tired, especially at like mid-afternoon. I'd need the coffee. I'd need the chocolate.
Something to give you that extra boost, to get you over the hump.
Yeah,
Your body crashing from the heavy lunch or all of that. Yeah.
All those food sensitivities, you know, that I was eating daily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So since you were able to heal yourself through this nutritionist person, then this made you go into the educational route and get your degree?
Yeah. Yeah, it took maybe a couple years, you mm-hmm. know, after that. I had finished up with my master's in exercise science. Mm-hmm. So I was really focused on that field. But then when I realized all this about nutrition that I didn't know, you know, mm-hmm. here I was this all into exercise. But mm-hmm. how was I truly helping those mm-hmm. people when I didn't have that full nutrition
information?
Knowledge,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because I'm like a gym rat, you know what I'm saying? And I stay in the gym a lot. And I see that a lot of times with the trainers, like they prescribe certain things as far as working out. But when they try to tell you what to eat, a lot of times I'm just like, I don't know mm-hmm. if that's what you want to be telling them to yeah. eat. But, you know, different yeah. strokes, different folks. Yeah.
There's a quote out here. I know all of you know it, but what the abs are made in the kitchen.
They're definitely right. made in the kitchen. Okay.
Not, so not really true.
And that was kind of like sure. a question I wanted to yeah. ask you. So. You are on both sides of it. You've been educated on both sides. So what would you say, or what is your opinion, fitness or nutrition? Like, which one is more important, do you think?
If you're making me choose,
yeah,
it's gonna be the nutrition.
Yes, I like her.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I will say, when I was getting my exercise science degree, I remember a nutrition major saying to all of us as exercise science majors, you guys think exercise is the most important thing, but it's really nutrition. And at that time in my life, I was like, I cannot believe he said that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is crazy. Exercise is the most important thing. Mm. But I had to go through my own health journey
yeah.
to really, I mean, years later, I'm looking back like, I almost wanted to find him on Facebook or something and write him and say, you were right. You know, yeah. I wish I would have listened then. Mm. So I understand when people aren't fully there with believing that their nutrition might be related to the health condition they're dealing with.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah, absolutely. It
you
does,
man. It took me a long time.
Took me a long time to get there, too. Our journey sounds similar. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
So, yeah, like, I grew up, I was an athlete. I played football. Mm-hmm. And I think back on it now, it's like, wow, like, before our games, the coach used to take us to Sizzler and we used to eat steak and potatoes and bread before we would go out and wow. play our games. But I also grew up, I had bad nosebleeds. I had a lot of mucus problems, sneezing, coughing, just like, oh man, I suffered as a child.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? As far as like, as far as my nose and just mucus sinus and sinus, oh man, mm-hmm. I suffered. And none of that stuff ever changed until I changed my diet.
Yeah.
And it all went away. Now I can be outside in the pollen and people just, and I'm like, la, 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 la. Yeah, just walking right along.
I know. Don't you love that? I'm like,
love
what?
It.
There's pollen out there? I don't even know.
Exactly.
Like, I'm fine.
Exactly. It's so awesome.
That's great. Good for you.
So you have a practice in Smyrna.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. I wanted you to touch a little bit, you know, on your practice here locally in Cobb County. And then, of course, you know, if you want to touch a little bit on your patients, you know, what are some of their main concerns? What do they come and see you for?
Okay, sure. Yeah. So my practice is out of chiropractic specialists. So shout out to everybody there. Hope some of them are listening in. Great chiropractors there, and it's a great team
okay.
environment. So we just really are trying to hit all areas to really improve these people's health. So I do the nutrition out of that practice. And I'd say the main concerns, really, I see a lot of people with digestive issues.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, what do you see the most these days? Like, what comes across mm-hmm, your path
yeah.
a lot? Digestion
I think
problems?
I think digestive issues, and that encompasses the acid reflux is so common
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that used to be one of mine. I had that bad.
Really?
Like, oh, man.
Really?
So, man, did I?
I hear a lot of women talk about that.
I had
reflux.
It bad.
I know a few
mm-hmm. bad. But it didn't change till I changed my diet.
I know, right? My husband, the same thing. He's had reflux for so many years, and it's all diet controlled now. He doesn't even have to take medicine anymore.
Yep. And mm-hmm. I used to, like, not want to eat because I knew after I got done eating what was coming next. Like,
yeah,
it
right?
It just burned so bad.
Yeah. It's yeah. such a common thing, you know, and I love to help people get through that because they can feel so much better
yes.
by changing their diet. They just need that guidance. So irritable bowel syndrome, very common. I've had some people with their gallbladders removed, so I definitely understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, you can relate.
Yeah. I feel like anytime anybody comes in with whatever it is, I'm like, oh, I had that.
Yeah.
I had rheumatoid arthritis. I know you can feel better, so come on.
Yeah.
But autoimmune conditions like rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis. I love helping people with those things because, you know, it's the immune system, you know, that we're working on. And what we eat definitely affects that. So that's a very common thing. Even some children's issues with the digestion, that's getting very common too with kids with issues. Weight loss is always a popular one. I think those are the main ones. And female health, hormonal issues, very common.
Do you see a lot of parallels to women, you know, trying to lose weight and they just can't, they're stuck on a plateau and they just don't understand, even though they, you know, eat clean or eat certain healthier foods, and this being related to hormonal issues?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah, yes. I mean, hormones dictate weight loss. So if we've got something going on with thyroid, adrenal glands, ovaries, uterus, you know, these are our endocrine glands, our hormonal glands. So they might need some support. And also we want to make sure we're eating the right foods, clean foods, and foods that that woman in particular isn't sensitive to. You know, when there's those food sensitivities coming in, you're just flaring up the body. So everybody's different. You know, it's about finding that perfect diet for that person and supporting what glands need to be supported to help with weight loss. But it's possible. Just gotta, you know, figure out where to start.
I just had a friend, since we're talking about weight loss and women, she just started on some probiotics. You know, like there's a lot of stuff going on with, you know, the overgrowth of yeast in your gut, which causes you to keep your weight right here. You know, it's caused by, you know, the wheat we eat,
Candida.
The sugar we eat. So, and it causes you not to lose weight. So what's your take on that? Probiotics, yes. The yeast overgrowth, how critical is it? What should people do? Like, how do they even know how to get started about that?
Yeah, again, it comes down to the individual. So for somebody, it might be more bacterial overgrowth. It could be yeast overgrowth. And probiotics would be a good place to start. You know, again, it depends on the individual. You know, some people may have to go through a full yeast cleanse where we have not just probiotics, but other supplementation to really help kind of clean out the bad guys, the bad yeast, and bring in the good guys, that good bacteria. You know, and that could be a 3 to 4 week process of cleaning that out, making sure the diet does not have the sugar and the grains in it, real kind of keeping it low carb, because yeast and bacteria love that, those kind of foods.
Of course,
so we don't want to keep them around. So yeah, I think probiotics can be very beneficial for a lot of folks.
Could be a start, but there's more to it. Definitely a lot more to it than just taking probiotic.
I think diet, a lot of it so diet is just diet. And another thing too, why people need to come see you too, because she said earlier about people eating clean but still having these problems. But I think there's a lot of miseducation on what really clean eating is.
And I find, you know, the food sensitivities are such a big thing in my practice. You know, one woman had come in with an interesting concern of, I want to breathe better. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, okay, how are we going to do this? Well, I'm just going to do what I normally do with anybody. You know, okay, we check for these food sensitivities. And in her situation, we just started removing one of those food sensitivities. In her case, it was wheat. So that's what we did for week one. She came back a week later and she was breathing better. She couldn't believe it. She said, I don't have to take this blood pressure medicine that I was given. But they gave it to her, not for high blood pressure, but more for anxiety, you know, to help her breathe better. And it wasn't really doing much. She didn't even need to take it because she was already seeing a difference. So eating clean might, some people still might have that food sensitivity in their diet. And it's, that's why they're not getting better. You know, they're still, again, flaring up that immune system response. Could be dairy for some folks. Or the wheat. And these are foods that a lot of us, you know, do think are healthy, but maybe they aren't for our individual bodies. You know,
everybody's different. Absolutely. And I think a lot of people have a hard time really understanding what inflammation, internal inflammation means, because you can't see it. So for people, it's really hard to comprehend, like, what do you mean, you know, this food inflames my body. Like, because if you have a scratch, you know, your skin is irritated, you have, you know, inflammation outside. But the inside, it's like so hard for people to comprehend. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I used to say, I wish people, I wish we were see-through sometimes.
I know, right?
Glass body.
Man, I'm telling you, people would not eat the way they do if you could just see it going through your system. I always used to say that. Man, I wish we were see-through.
I know. Love that.
Yeah. I know. That's
but that is a good point, because I did have one guy say, what do you mean inflammation? I don't feel it. and I'm like, exactly. You're not going to feel it, but it is there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can sometimes see it on the outside with the redness in the skin or the puffiness.
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw, you know, that it went down. I saw less redness in this gentleman's face when he came back. And I'm like, we're getting somewhere. Even it's just a matter. Sometimes you don't realize how bad you really do feel till you feel better. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I did feel pretty terrible.
I heard you say something about blood pressure medicine. Like, as a nutritionist, how do you feel about like medicine?
Oh, so good question. I mean, I think, you know, we sometimes need it, you know. One lady, I had her blood pressure was significantly high. You know, when it's that high, you need something to quickly, we got to get that down, because that's not good. Our hope though is, maybe we can reduce that and get you off of that. But that might take a while, and that's okay. But if we can do something natural first before someone, you know, I have a lot of people say, I don't want to be on cholesterol medicine, so let's prevent that. That's awesome. Then they haven't even had to worry about that medicine even getting prescribed, coming into their bodies. But if they're on it, you know, we just work on what their goal, if that goal is to get off of it, let's work towards that, because it's possible.
Absolutely.
What's your take on, I have a few friends who are not into the healthy eating, or, you know, going to the gym. Everybody's looking to this quick fix. Let me take a pill, or let me have a surgery, or let me take this waist, you know, wear this waistband thing, you know. So do you run a lot into that? Like, people are just so like cutting corners, shortcuts.
Super tease.
There are no shortcuts. You either, you know, you really want to appreciate your body and you're going to do everything to maintain your health and try to have a long, healthy life, or there's nothing else to it. It's not rocket science.
I know, right?
Right. But I guess the media and the marketing of these different products, you know, everybody's feeding into that. Like, oh, yeah, I can just, you know, take a quick pill and 3 months later, I'm fine.
Right, right. You know?
I mean, what's your take on that?
Well, I think they say the weight loss industry is like $1 billion industry. And if it actually worked right, it wouldn't be $1 billion industry.
Absolutely.
So
that's
what all those programs are, you know. This 30-day, you know, fix or whatever. And, you know, maybe it gets people started. But the main thing is, if it is too drastic, and let's say a stressor comes your way, you're probably going to go back to what you were doing.
Absolutely.
Because you can't handle keeping up with this whole new change in your diet and whatever stressor comes your way. So really, you know, is about tweaking that diet little by little. And big changes can occur from that. I had one guy who was doing pretty high sugar breakfast, orange juice, flavored cereal, mocha drink, loading up on sugar. But, you know, he's like, this isn't that many calories. And I said, you know, let's try some more protein for breakfast. And he didn't even do it every day, probably 3 days out of the week. He also changed up some of his snacks from being like a granola bar to fruit, you know, something easy he could still pack. He lost 10 pounds in a month. From just that. And he, the next time I spoke with him, it was like, I could hear how good he felt. He felt confident. He was ready to take the next step. And I mean, he had a significant amount of weight to lose, but for him to lose 10 pounds in a month by not even changing everything, that was awesome. And it was something easy for him. So it has to go with your lifestyle. That's all, you know, I always tell my patients, like, what are we doing next? One little thing.
You can't change everything at one time. It's impossible.
That's you too can't. Much but everybody wants it yesterday. And I get that. Sometimes we are impatient. But
man, it takes time.
It takes time. It does. It's a process.
All right. So
can I want to ask you about working with kids. Like, so how is it working with the kids? Do you get So you were talking about digestive problems with the kids, mm-hmm. or maybe obesity in the kids. Is that more difficult, you think, working with the kids versus the parents? Because the parents kind of dictate what the kids eat and do. So how does that work for you? Or do you see, like, with an adult, we can make up our mind. We got choices. I mean, as a kid, you got choices too, but it's really what mommy and daddy do, you know?
I mean, it's basically working with the parents.
Yeah, most.
You know, because, and if they're not, if they're looking at it as just, we need to do this just for my son, you know, he's the one who needs to lose weight, it's not going to work. Mm. I've realized that.
So you kind of get everybody on a plan.
Oh, yeah. Family.
Yeah, family plan. Mm-hmm. I got you.
Absolutely. Family plan for sure, because it's just not going to work, you know. And, you know, you can't expect, you know, that I can just give those recommendations to a kid and he can follow through. He's got to have the food in the house. And, and they're young, you know, they don't, you know, I'm sure they understand some of it, but that's a big responsibility for them. They need to have healthy choices readily available first and foremost, and see that mom and dad are eating that healthy food too. Yeah.
And then I think, I mean, we touched about on this before and with our previous guest, it has to become a lifestyle. So you, I mean, this is going to be who you are.
Yeah.
And then there's really no wearing off and being like, you know, one day I do this and the other day I do this. No, once you really understand how it works and that it makes you feel so much better.
Yeah.
Then you, it's really part of your life. And that's what you're going to do every day.
Yeah. And I think it comes down to that motivation. You know, if somebody doesn't really have that big why behind it, they're not going to take those steps forward. So you've got to first and foremost, and I usually ask people that, or at least ask my forums, you know, how motivated are you? Because if you're not really motivated, probably you're not going to want to take that time to go to the grocery store and get that healthy food. And I know it's not always perfect, but definitely you've got to have the motivation to want to make those changes in your life.
So what do you think is the motivational factor for your patients?
Feeling bad. You know, I find that the ones that do the best are just kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah, that was me too.
I'm telling you that I think I shocked this nutritionist with how well I followed up. I was like, okay, yep, you don't want me to do that, I won't do that.
Yeah.
And he couldn't believe I felt better so quickly.
And how tough was it, you know, being around your friends and other people in your life that don't, you know what I'm saying? Like they don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? So was that tough for you to like get over that part of it? Or, you know, just be in certain environments and, right.
Yeah, that's a good question. So for one thing,
because I know a lot of people struggle for that. So how about I'll ask it like this. What would be your recommendation for people that want to do that? But, you know, we all have friends and family and they're looking at us
negative.
I'm not,
it's not working.
That. I'm not going to do that. Or why are you doing that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I find that like I never go anywhere super hungry when I don't know the food that's going to be there. That way, if I like just can nitpick, and usually nobody really notices if you just kind of nitpick a little bit of those things, they won't be like, why aren't you eating all that? You know? Yeah. So I just always try to like not go in ravenous. That's probably the biggest thing. Or bringing a dish to that party. Or maybe if you're going out to eat, looking at the menu beforehand. I mean, there's always something that I can find on any menu to have.
Yeah.
You know, I might just even substitute things. So there's a way to do it. You just have to, I think, plan ahead. That's what it comes down to. And, you know, realize that your goals are so important to you that if you, you know, you don't want to offend anybody necessarily, but they should understand how important it is to you as well to be making those choices.
Do you run into people picking on you like, oh, here you go with your salad again? It happens to me quite a bit.
Does it? Yeah. I don't know. I guess it never really has been that big of an issue for me, really. Okay. I think people just know by now. Maybe it's been so long, they're just like, whatever, we're done bugging
her.
That's
me, it's like, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So thankfully my family's, you know, was all on the program too. Like my mom and I actually went to see this nutritionist together.
Okay.
So that helped so much to know, like, we were all like trying to eat better. It made it easier. So the support has got to be there from somebody, whether family, friends, coworkers, that's going to help people, you know, make it through.
And then in your role, I think what's really important in this health journey is to have accountability partners. Because if you're trying to really just do it on your own, I think a lot of people fall just back off. Mm-hmm. So do you see yourself in a role as an accountability partner? Because when I do the health coaching, that's what I become.
Yeah.
I'm not here to micromanage you or tell you what to do, but I'm really your accountability partner. I will pick your brain. Yeah. Why do you think you are having this urge of eating these five donuts? Like, what's really going on inside of you mentally? What's blocking you from trying to eat some kale instead of this donut?
Yeah.
You know, so that, you know, and we talked about this before too, you know, the emotional eating, the binge eating, the boredom eating, mm-hmm. you know, all of that. So how do you see yourself as an accountability partner with your patients?
Yeah. I mean, just having that weekly meeting at first, mm-hmm. you know, first I do meet with them pretty frequently to develop those habits and, you know, keep mm-hmm. that food record for me for a week. Mm-hmm. And that alone is accountability, jotting down mm-hmm. what they eat. They're able to see it too. Mm-hmm. And then they have to report back to me. So they do want to, mm-hmm. you know, do their best.
Mm-hmm. To get good feedback.
Yeah, uh-huh. to get good feedback. And mm-hmm. so I'm definitely an accountability partner, telling them, yeah, these are really good things you did and here's what we can improve on. Mm-hmm. So I think that is so key. And that's a big part of why they're coming to somebody that they can talk to about it and mm-hmm. get those recommendations. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you just said habits. So, and that's one thing, like when you're doing this over and over and over and you grew up like this and you made this habit. So how do we start making changes for these habits mm-hmm. that we collect over the years?
Yeah.
Cause a lot of it, I think it is just, it's just the habit.
Ingrained in us, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You start somewhere, you know, wherever it might be. And that's what I usually identify is, where are we going to start? If mm-hmm. I notice like somebody's eating no vegetables, well, hey, let's put a vegetable in there to start. Awesome. Or maybe it's a lot of sugar, or maybe it's sugar twice a day, you know, hey, let's go to every other day mm-hmm. or something like that. That's reasonable. That doesn't make them feel like it's too overwhelming and they feel like a failure if they didn't achieve it.
Yeah.
Sometimes starting with breakfast, like I did with that one gentleman, because there was so much sugar in there. He was just starting his day with sugar overload. And that was just setting up cravings to just want sugar and carbs.
Yep.
And you
probably
know,
a nice little crash in the afternoon too. Yeah.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you just, I think starting wherever you can, and it can just be that one thing you focus on. I've had people just start focusing on improving their snack from that granola bar to an apple. Mm. Just work on that to start. And that gets the ball rolling. And they're like, hey, I did lose a little weight, or I do feel a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, let's take that next step. So it has to be baby steps, especially if these are habits you've dealt with since you were young. I mean, mm. some people never had to eat a vegetable when they were younger.
Man,
that's hard to get used to now as an adult when you haven't done that for so many years. Mm-hmm. So,
so
definitely a process.
Tell the audience about granola bars, because probably a lot of people are listening right now. They're thinking, granola? I thought that was healthy. Why is that not good for you?
I know, right? I always
break
use
the news.
Example.
Break the news.
I think this one hits home for me so personally, because I always thought those Nature Valley granola bars were so healthy. I had them every day. I'm like, this is my AM snack. I'm doing so well. And then when I met with this nutritionist, mm-hmm. he opened my eyes to the three different forms of sugar in those, you know? I had no idea. And so now when I'm looking at that, I'm like, well, there's no nutrition really in there.
Empty calories, huh?
Empty calories. Yeah, you know, why not have an apple with some peanut butter, apple with some almond butter? And that's actually really so satisfying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Most people love that. They really do. And that's easy for them to change that. Mm-hmm. That was easy for me to change because, mm-hmm. you know, I still could have a snack. I wasn't starving myself. Mm-hmm. And it was something way more nutritious, more whole foods. Mm-hmm. So granola bars are packaged foods, processed food.
Mm-hmm.
The more we get away from that, the better it is mm-hmm. for us, because the body really does recognize real food. Mm-hmm. The best things found in nature. Mm-hmm. So the more we can have that, the better off we'll be. Mm-hmm.
That's
so
right. Whole foods, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely. Yeah. How about food prep in your practice? Do you teach them how important food prepping is, or what's your take on food prep?
Yeah, I mean,
in order to be successful?
We definitely talk about like planning, you know, that grocery shopping day, mm-hmm. get the groceries in the house, mm-hmm. you know. And then, you know, I leave it up to them to figure out how it's going to work for them. Mm-hmm. I have some folks who are really busy and are like, I'm not going to cook for just me. So we work with that. Okay, what are some easy things? Do we have to do a steamer bag of vegetables? Mm-hmm. You know, let's at least get those in the freezer so they're ready to go. Mm-hmm. So it is about mainly, you know, having that food on hand so it's there for you to eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And convenience is the biggest thing nowadays. People are so busy.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So busy, yeah. So you got to find what's going to work with your schedule. You know, we all have full plates, and I always tell people life isn't going to slow down. Exactly. There's no way. It's just getting crazier. Exactly. I think we have always those hopes. It's, next week will be better, less crazy. Oh, I don't know. Exactly. Probably not.
But
I think it's a lot of the hustle and the bustle, I like to call it. I think it's self-created, to be very, very honest. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, obviously the evolution of life, you know, the technology, everything gets faster. You got to be present at five different places just because you have one device. I get it. But yeah. Everything, this whole like, oh, I'm so stressed out and, oh, I don't have time for myself. And, oh, I can't cook anymore because I got to work till 8 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. I think this is very, very, very self-created.
Mm-hmm.
Because people make time for what they want to make time for.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you meet a guy, I don't know, nobody's single in this office, maybe a few. But if you meet a special person and you want to really make time for them, you're fine to make time for them.
Oh, yeah.
You absolutely will.
Priorities.
So, exactly, priorities. So really, this is also going back to where are people putting themselves in their lives. Like, mm-hmm. how important are you to yourself? Your mm-hmm. your health, the health is wealth, you know?
Oh, big time.
So that's what I run into. And I think a lot of people are just BSing themselves a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I once read this article on how not to hurry, because I know for myself, you know, my husband always say, you're always rushing me, because that's the mode we get in. Hurry, mm-hmm. hurry, hurry. Mm-hmm. And we don't really take time mm-hmm. to really focus on that mm-hmm. one thing we're doing. We're thinking mm-hmm. about the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have to slow down. Mm-hmm. We have to make that time for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always tell people, if you make that time for yourself and make yourself a priority, you're going to be so much better off for your
Absolutely.
Family, for your job. I remember being at like kind of like a get together where there was business people there, attorneys mm-hmm. and whatnot. And, you know, just had said, you probably want to keep up with your job, you know, so you have to eat well. I mean, eventually it's going to hit you.
Yeah.
You're going to come down with something. So you got to make the time for it mm-hmm. Because it's just going to be so worth it. Like, I find that eating well just helps me get through the whole day with good energy, exactly. complete what I need mm-hmm. to, and not be crabby and miserable because I'm tired all day.
And irritated.
So yeah. it's worth it for me to, like, mm-hmm. go shopping, get that food in the house, mm-hmm. and make it work.
Priorities.
Mm-hmm. Priorities. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like if you see the fresh veggies in the store, it's so colorful if you pay mm-hmm. attention to it. It's almost like an exhibition trip.
Yeah. Could be.
I love that good yeah. attitude. Yeah. I think, you know, that's awesome.
Like, you should go and say, ooh, I've never seen this green vegetable, or touch it, or yeah. smell it. You know, like really yeah. make fun, you know, like,
yeah.
like enjoy it, like yeah. like make it different.
Yeah.
You know?
Such a great point. Yeah. And that's what I think when it comes down to cooking too. Some people are just like, I don't have time for this. This is dreadful. And I encourage, put on some music or mm-hmm. do something
fun. You
gotta
make it fun, yeah.
Make it fun.
Yeah.
You gotta make it fun.
You gotta have a good attitude about it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's gonna be miserable.
Right. And it doesn't have to be complicated dishes or, you know, 5-course meals.
Right.
I think there's definitely a lot of ways to cook healthy in a very simple, straightforward way.
Yeah.
You know, which doesn't take hours and hours. It might be 20 minutes and mm-hmm. you're done. And you might have, though, a meal for like 2-3 days. Which then helps you to save time.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
That's what we were taught, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pre-planning, advanced cooking, all of that.
Yes, got to have a plan.
Okay. So we had another question here for you also. Why is weight loss such a lifestyle change rather than a quick fix?
Yeah. I mean, imagine if you lose, you know, 20 pounds in a month. If that stressor comes on, you know, mm-hmm. you're probably going to gain that weight back.
Yeah.
We really want it to be slow. Why would you want to put all that effort in, lose that weight, and then just gain it back? That yep. just seems like wasted time and energy. If you do it slower, you're going to be able to keep it off. I had one gentleman who was losing about 1 pound a week, and that was great. And mm-hmm. I know that doesn't
That's
seem
healthy.
Fast enough for a lot of people, mm-hmm. though. Mm-hmm. You know, definitely wants more of the drastic weight loss. And you know, that would involve doing probably X, Y, and Z. And that's like mm-hmm. three things to just add onto your plate, which is just not doable right now. I mean, you have to take it just, let's work on X first so that weight loss can be a pound a week. And before you know it, 2 months down the road, now you're down another 8 pounds. Mm-hmm. So it just has to be slower. I mean, you want it to last. That's the whole point.
Absolutely.
You know, make it slow.
So when people want to work with you, for one, of course, you're going to have to share all of your, contact information, social media, website. Are you accepting insurance plans, or do people kind of like just pay out of their pocket? How does that work for you?
Yeah, so I don't bill insurance directly, but you can pay with an HSA card, health savings account, if you have that. I have a lot of patients that use that. And those are really popular now. That's so. Awesome. So they are able to use that. Mm-hmm. But I don't bill insurance directly. Mm-hmm. So it would be, paying out of pocket or using the HSA.
Okay.
Do you get any cancer patients that come your way?
I have not had any cancer patients yet. But definitely something that I would be interested in, exploring more. I mean, I think it can't hurt ever to work on better nutrition.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Especially going through that treatment, trying to, get in some good nutrition with going through chemotherapy or radiation.
Yeah.
I've worked with cancer patients doing medical research in the past with breast cancer and prostate cancer patients. So I have experience with cancer patients, just not so much within the nutrition realm.
Okay.
But definitely see the importance of it.
Yeah, it's definitely. You know? And I have a few people in my life that have cancer, and it's just weird to me, like when you, go to a doctor and, they want to treat you with chemo and radiation. It just seems like there would be like a nutritionist on hand for that patient to talk to.
I know.
And you don't see a lot of that in the hospital. It's just like, come on, we about to tube you up to this stuff and
I know
and put this in your chemo in your body. But nothing about, okay, so. Just keep eating French fries and burgers and drinking Coke.
I know.
So, and that's usually what happens. They just tell you, all right, you had your chemo for today. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, so, I know. It's,
I don't know.
That boggles my mind.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. Like, I don't know.
My dad had triple bypass surgery. And, afterwards they were feeding him the white bread, white pasta. And my mom would call me up like, I cannot believe this. What are they doing? He just had heart surgery. And so it's kind of the same thing, that it just is like, where are all the good nutrients that your body needs to heal?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really make sense. There definitely, I think, needs to be way more done about that. And unfortunately, it just seems there's this lack of time where, I don't think doctors even can take that time to even ask, what are you eating?
Yeah, so
no one ever asked me what I was eating when I had all those health issues.
Yeah, because they're coming in, they're talking to you for 2 minutes, and then they're off to the next room.
Yeah, looking back, I'm like, I can't believe nobody asked me what I was eating.
But so when I did my health coaching program, our approach is very holistic. So it's definitely the total opposite of medical. So, and we were taught or the information was out there that people who go into the medical programs, the doctors, the nurses and stuff, they don't have that part in
their education.
Program.
It's not a nutritionist.
They don't learn about that.
But yeah, I think
they don't.
It should be nutritionists working in these hospitals. So how can we make that happen?
Well, there's clinical nutritionists, which they follow, for example, they follow the food pyramid.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily...
It's upside down.
It's upside down. Yes.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
So that's where we natural healers come in. Are you a natural healer, Marcus?
Yes.
I know you are.
See, you feel healed. for the people, I touched your hand. For the people who couldn't see.
Yeah.
She's healed.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of work to do, us three, helping a lot of people.
Yes.
Get the information out there.
Yeah. Yes. I love what you're doing, man.
It's got to create ripple effects.
Yes. Because it's a lot of people, man. It seems like, as the years go by and more time go by, it's just like more people obese, more people,
I know,
just sick. And it's crazy. Like, it is so crazy. And my heart just goes out to the kids. Like, you know, you're an adult. Yeah, like, come on, man, let's go. Let's get it together. But yeah, these kids, like, they don't have a choice, you know?
I know.
They have to eat what mommy and daddy bring in the house. And I'm seeing it so much.
I know.
Then you go to the schools and it's like jailhouse food or something going on in there. I don't know what that is. Like, we got to find a way for these hospitals to team up with people like you and these schools to team up with people like you to figure out how we can make some kind of change
in the world and cook for everybody. Just wish I could do that.
I wish you could.
So awesome. I always say, for my family, at least, like my parents back home, just want to make all your food for you and my sisters. Because I just want to know they're getting what they should.
Absolutely. But, what do you think about veggie gardens? Do you grow your own vegetables?
We don't, I have to say. I want to eventually.
That's one of my big goals.
Yeah, definitely a big goal. I grew up on a farm, so we always had food. I mean, you just go and pick the cherries right from the tree. You can't beat that. And so so affordable. So I think it's great if people can grow their own food. And I think that's great too for kids. Speaking of kids, like to see that, you know, if they get involved with that meal preparation, they're probably going to want to eat that healthier food.
Absolutely.
Knowing that, oh my gosh, we grew this lettuce. Like, or they even, maybe you can't grow your own garden, but maybe you just have them involve them with cooking. Kids like that stuff.
Yep, exactly. They do.
So got to involve them.
So I have an 11-year-old. We good on veggies. We are not good on fruit. So what's a good approach when you talk to your parents and kids and everything? What's a good approach to get kids started? Veggies and fruits. What's a good trick? You have a trick?
Hide it the best you can.
I mean, blend it.
Blend it, you know, if you can hide it in sauces, you know, but also give them a choice. You know, maybe you say, okay, for dinner, do you want broccoli or cauliflower? And they can choose.
I wish we had that choice. In my house, it was like,
you're eating what you get, right?
And you're going to sit there until it's gone. And it's like, time is ticking. And don't forget, you got to do your homework. And I swear, like, I used to eat no vegetables. Like, I couldn't stand vegetables.
Really?
And I would have to sit at the table for hours until I ate it and just hoping the dog would walk by. So I could throw it on the floor. That never worked.
But, yeah, so what made you change?
What made me change? So like I told you, I was an athlete, and I went from being nice and slim, and I had went through some stuff in my life, and I just kind of got depressed, and I gained like super, super weight. And I was almost like 200 something pounds. And I felt like crap. And I was smoking cigarettes, and it was just awful. And one day I just had this, so I had the acid reflux, and I still had the mucus all up in my face, and irritable bowels, and it was just real bad. And I just had this chest pain one day, and it kind of scared me. And I ended up having to go to the hospital, and they told me I had something going on with my heart, and then they kind of misdiagnosed it. But I didn't stop smoking and none of that. I just kind of went back, and I had this experience. I was smoking on my porch one day, on the back of my porch, and my feet all the way up to the crown of my head went numb. You know how you sit on the toilet and your legs get too numb from sitting there too long? And after that, that was it. I threw that cigarette down. I never smoked again.
Wow.
I got on the internet. I started reading, and I haven't turned back since.
Wow.
And when the weight dropped off and I got back in the gym, and man, it was unbelievable. And I've been trying to preach about healthy foods and healthy living and exercise ever since.
That was
probably about 7 years ago, like, you know, when I started getting it together. So yeah, it's been a process. Like, it didn't happen overnight. Like,
yeah,
it was a process.
It helps to have that personal story. You know, I look at what I went through it was rough. You know, I wish I could go back and start my whole life eating really well, but it's a blessing in disguise, because you can relate then to what other people are going through. You know, when people complain of joint pain or this or that, you know, I'm like, yeah, I know how you feel.
Exactly.
And we can get you better, because I've gotten better, and I know how we can get you to where you want to be. So
exactly.
But isn't it funny that, so I run into this a little bit too, that they look at you and they're like, oh, you're in shape, you're skinny, you have nothing to worry about. This is easy for you. You don't know how hard it is for me to stop eating sugar. And I'm like, this is hard work. Yeah. Every single day. Yeah, like, this is mental. Like, you know, I got to push myself to go to the gym. I got to push myself to say, ooh, I want to eat these veggies over the bar, chocolate bar, or, you know, whatever. So, but people, as soon as you are slimmer and fitter, they think it's just easy. Like, we were just blessed like this.
Yeah.
No, it's hard work. It's hard work, people.
I think that's a great point, too. I never really was overweight. So when I would go to the doctors, they were just like, you're fine because I looked healthy.
Right.
But no matter how thin you are, it doesn't matter. I mean, I've done some health events where I'm coaching people on their cholesterol values. And one girl was so, so skinny. But her cholesterol values were all abnormal.
Yeah.
And then I had this guy who was a little heavier. He was pretty muscular. But you would think, you know, maybe his would be worse because he's a little more overweight. No, I mean, it doesn't matter really even how thin you are.
No, I had I did a presentation at a school, a juicing presentation at a school the other day. It was a girl, nice body, nice shape. She looked like she was in shape. She was like, oh, I got diabetes. Wow. And I'm like, just looking at her like, you got diabetes? Like, just looking at her from the outside, I never would have thought she would have had, because she looks like she's like health. She just looks like health, you know?
Something,
There's a medical term. I dated a doctor last year, and he told me it's a medical term. It's called skinny fat.
Skinny fat.
Yeah. So people, you know, they carry it in different ways. They might not eat a whole lot, but the little bit they eat is just not healthy, and that's what get their values off.
Yeah, too. See, I didn't have that. Mine was just fat. Big. But hey, I'm a living testimony. You can change it. It doesn't, you don't have to be that way. Man, you just got to get up and just, man, I started out walking every day. 30 minutes, I would just go walk, or I just committed to walking. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm running half marathons. And one day I'm going to be like her, and I'm going to do 9 marathons.
You will. I know you will.
So when you, both of you obviously exercise, all of us. So if somebody wants to start losing weight, I get this question quite a bit too. And, you know, nutrition, of course, it's a big piece, but then the gym comes into the whole convo as well. So rather cardio over weights, or start with the weights and don't do the cardio, or do both? Like, what's better for the first quicker weight drop?
To me personally, I think it's more in the diet than it is in the gym. So I would go towards changing my diet first. Mm-hmm. And man, forget the gym membership. Just go walking for now. Like,
so it's,
man,
the car, it's been just the, start in the movement.
Yeah,
the
just
cardio.
Move. Just move. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you burn calories when you lift weights. Absolutely right. But I think if you really want to drop pounds, like 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds, you don't get around moving.
And then we're talking about walk
some more.
And I see a lot with people going to the gym, people that are overweight, once you get in the gym, and it's all these, like me personally, like I remember just being in the gym as a heavy dude and looking over, and it's all these dudes in there lifting.
Intimidating.
It's like, all right, I'm going home. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't do that. You know what I'm saying? And you just, it's a little intimidating. So, man, start off on your street and just go walk.
And that's, I think it's mental. I think it's mental peace, because it's almost like meditation when you walk or run outside.
Absolutely.
Or fast walking.
It's definitely meditation.
It helps with the whole, you know, releasing stress and just letting some thoughts go, and you know, stuff like that.
Yeah,
very affordable too.
Yeah,
grab the sneakers and go.
Yep. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you want to share how people can get in touch with you? All of your
good
social media.
Sure. So my website is truefoodandwellness.com, all spelled out. Email is getwell@truefoodandwellness.com. You can also call me, direct line for me personally, for the office, business line is 678-885-7445. And our address is 11, 1154 Concord Road. That's Smyrna. corner of Concord Road and King Springs, at Chiropractic Specialists. Can't miss the building. Big sign on there.
I know. I've been in there. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a good place.
Facebook, Instagram?
Yes. Facebook would be truefoodandwellness.com.
Okay.
And also Twitter.
Okay. No Instagram.
I'm not a big Instagrammer. Okay. I got to get more into that. I'm lucky if I can get on Twitter as much as I should.
Yeah, we got to get you on that Instagram.
Okay, that will be my goal for 2016.
Okay, there you go. Okay, awesome. So with every guest we have, we ask all of them to mention their top three health tips. So what are your three health tips?
You know, number one, I would say find your motivation.
That's a good one.
Motivation. Number two, make it a priority. That includes making time for it. So time management, if you've got to sit down. And I've had actually some people keep a time record, and we've gone through that together of, okay, where can we carve out 10 minutes for your health goal here? Because I'm sure there's some wasted time or there's something we can move around.
Absolutely. People sitting on a couch checking Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, we waste so much time.
Instead of going to the gym.
Yeah.
Just waste the time right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or you can walk and check your Facebook.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Multitask. Us women, we're good at that. We
could do absolutely. Absolutely.
Not that you're not, but.
Yeah, I got a little multitasking.
And number three, you know, start somewhere. Add that other vegetable in. Just pick one thing that you can focus on to start. And then, you know, after doing that for maybe 2 weeks, pick another thing. I mean, if you did that every week, you know, well, that would be like 50 some changes, right, for the year. So that's huge.
Yep.
So just start little and fix one thing at a time. Try not to overwhelm yourself.
I like it.
I like it.
Start
too.
Small.
I like it too. One last question I have for you. Food sensitivity. We talked about it quite a bit. Can you mention, I think to make it just more understandable for the listeners, a few examples, maybe either your own. I know celiac disease, which is gluten sensitivity, is a big topic these days. And I heard a couple of different takes on that. I actually know of a story where a lady, you know, eliminated gluten because it's been in the media. Don't eat gluten. Oh, my God. You're going to lose so much weight. And
glad.
And but it also has actually some pros there. And if you cut it out and you don't have a sensitivity, you can actually lack quite a little bit of minerals and vitamins. And she ended up after 5 years in a hospital being very sick from eliminating gluten out of her diet. So what's your take on food sensitivities, or what are some really good examples so that people might really start thinking about, you know, I know dairy, you might have mucus and drainage. You know, what are a few other ones?
Okay, yeah. So I guess I should have even said kind of what it is. So it's different from a food allergy. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking about a full-blown response of hives, you know, difficulty breathing. Mm-hmm. Food sensitivities can be like more of a delayed response 24 to 48 hours later. So you might not even notice you have them, honestly. Mm-hmm. It could be that you're feeling fatigue or headaches or these kinds of things that are coming from food sensitivities. The top ones really are dairy, wheat, corn, soy, and
it's in everything.
Let's
these
see,
days.
Is that all of them? I think those are some main ones. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is in everything. And the thing with gluten sensitivity, there are people who don't have celiac disease that have a sensitivity to it and do better when they remove it from their diet. Mm-hmm. You do want to do that wisely. And not, you know, make yourself deficient in minerals. Mm-hmm. And you can definitely do that by eating the right kinds of foods. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to go gluten-free and still eat all this processed packaged stuff. You want to have good, wholesome foods in your diet, you know, and enough carbohydrates. Carbohydrates, you know, that we could talk about that for an hour probably, you know, good, bad. They're not bad. You just want the right ones. So, I mean, I'll just tell you personally, I don't eat a lot of grains in my diet. Because I've had digestive issues. But when I food track on MyFitnessPal, which is a good app for food tracking, I meet the carbohydrate requirements because I include sweet potatoes. I like those in my diet. Great nutritious source.
I love sweet potatoes.
Me too.
So good.
Yeah, so good.
And, you know, maybe I'll have some quinoa in there or whatever. But I get in plenty of nutrients. You just have to do it the right way. But, you know, for anyone that has digestive issues, definitely I'd look into food sensitivities. like you were saying, with mm-hmm. mucus buildups, a lot of sinus issues. Mm-hmm. I'd look into a dairy sensitivity. Mm-hmm. For some people, they can just kind of do it on their own, where they maybe for 2 weeks, and they actually say do it longer, you know, maybe more like 4 weeks, remove that food, then introduce it back in.
Mm-hmm. See the change.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and for some people, corn mm-hmm. is it. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, some children actually can have issues with corn. Mm-hmm. I was at a conference and this doctor was talking about it, and I never really thought about corn being such a sensitivity. We normally hear about the wheat and the dairy. And my sister had actually called me that weekend and said, hey, I've got this friend who her son has these behavioral issues and she's gone gluten-free with him. And that seemed to help a little bit, but he's still a lot of issues with him. And I said, you know, why don't you have her get in touch with me and let me see what's in his diet? Is there a lot of corn coming in? Because when someone goes gluten-free, it ends up they introduce sometimes more corn in their diet. Mm-hmm. You know, we have corn Chex that are gluten-free, those kinds of things. And a lot of kids' foods mm-hmm. are going to have that in there. So sure enough, a lot of corn in there. Well, they're up in Western New York. And so she had him tested for this sensitivity and he was sensitive to corn. And would you know, after doing that for a few weeks, she said she got her son back. Like, their house is so peaceful. He was very aggressive. And she just made these dietary changes and got the corn out of his diet. And I mean, it's just amazing. Like, this kid wants to function well and be happy and live a great life. It was this protein coming into his body that sometimes we view as healthy, and it can be fine for some people. For him, it was not. Mm-hmm. So these are important things to look at. The immune system needs a break sometimes from these foods.
Absolutely.
So does that help kind of answer?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So interesting.
And parents can bring their kids and both can get tested to its food sensitivities, but, you know, in your practice.
Yeah. And definitely, like, the parent has to be on board. So sometimes mm-hmm. that's even a good place to start mm-hmm. is let's work with the parent first mm-hmm. so that they're kind of understanding how the program works and mm-hmm. what foods they should be eating mm-hmm. and, you know, because like we were talking about before, got to get the parents number one mm-hmm. first on board and understanding it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the whole family, you know, mm-hmm. can change.
Mm-hmm. I have one more quick question. Too acidy. There's this term going around that, you know, people are too acidy. Can you?
Too much acid in it.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you hear about, oh, the body regulates your pH, but I think there are some of those more acidic foods that are coming into the diet. The standard American diet is just full of inflammatory foods.
Acid. No.
Yeah. I mean, it's inflammation. That's what I kind of look at it mm-hmm. as, you know, that's an inflammatory diet with all the processed food coming in. So a more alkaline diet, which is the opposite of the acid, would be your, you know, getting in those good fruits and vegetables.
Greens.
Yeah. Your kale, your spinach, and mm-hmm. help the body just kind of bring down the inflammation. I call mm-hmm. it kind of like an anti-inflammatory diet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and speaking of, we're having a talk tomorrow. I'm doing a talk tomorrow on the anti-inflammatory diet at Chiropractic Specialists. So if anyone
what
wants to come, 7 to 8 p.m.
Okay.
So feel free. You can just email me or call me if you want to come. So I have a spot reserved.
Awesome.
For you.
Awesome. And
you should take me there on a date or something. You should go there.
You want to go with me?
Absolutely.
Let's do this. We need to support Caitlin anyway.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Let's get educated.
Awesome. And we might be able to learn something. We can implement them to our businesses.
Exactly.
Yes.
Get some knowledge. Knowledge is power. Well, applied knowledge is power. So yeah, I'm always down.
I want to ask one more. Water. What's your take on water? Which water is the best? Because Marcus and I, we believe in alkaline water, right?
I believe in water with a high pH.
Yeah. Right?
Absolutely.
You know, I never have people like go out and spend the money on it, the mm-hmm. alkaline water. I'm just lucky if they do filtered water first.
Yeah.
Because really that tap water, I've had one woman who, you know, chlorine was actually an issue that we were working on, that there was a lot of chlorine in her body from the tap water. So definitely at least filter your water. If you can't, go ahead and spend the money on the, I don't even know how much it is, right?
Well, but I mean,
I heard it's kind of pricey.
Yeah, it's kind of pricey. Different, but you know, they're coming with better prices as far as certain bottles are concerned. So it just depends on where you're at, where you get it from, what, you know, just what side of town you're on or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, it can be kind of high. But like you said, it's priorities. Like, you got the $100 shoes on, buy the $4 water.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So awesome.
It just depends on how much you love yourself. And I love myself. So I'm getting the $4
too.
Water.
Does it taste better too?
Yes, definitely tastes better.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. I've been getting it too. I've been going Sprouts as a variety of nice. Alkaline water. Yeah. So it's been definitely.
How you feel about soda?
I learned from you guys. So
how you feel about soda?
Soda?
Soda. Pop.
Oh, pop. Yeah. We call it pop up in New York.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I had to change it.
Oh gosh. You know, actually, I'd rather have somebody do a real soda than a diet soda. Mm-hmm. So avoid those diet sodas like the plague. avoid soda too. You know, but if you're going to choose one or the other, I'd just go for the real stuff instead. But, you know, there's those carbonated flavored water, you know, naturally flavored waters out there. If you feel you need the carbonation, obviously plain water is best.
Yeah.
Put some lemon juice in there if you need to flavor it up. I love doing that. That's a great health benefit too, doing that in the morning. Mm-hmm. Hydrate yourself after sleeping all night, you know, and getting a little dehydrated. So try for plain water with lemon first. If you once in a while want to have the carbonated with the naturally flavored, that's an option. I've bought sometimes those, you know, carbonated waters and added some flavored stevia drops. They actually have a cola flavored one. Sweet Leaf is the brand, and so that gives you that kind of feeling like you're having your Coca-Cola in a little healthier way. So that might be the first step to take, try to
wean off of those.
Drinking calories, you know, that never made sense to me. I'm like, if I'm gonna have the calories, I'm gonna eat something really good, not drink it. Not a huge fan of those, of course.
Absolutely. Me either.
And I remember going to your practice, you teach and talk about supplements, right? You definitely have some referrals and what type of supplements to take and to help them to get them on the right track, right?
Yeah.
Your patients.
Yeah. Whole food supplements. So those are pretty much ground up food in a concentrated form.
Okay.
You know, we could probably spend an hour or two on talking about supplements, but the synthetic supplements out there are pretty much made in a lab. And again, your body recognizes real food the best.
Absolutely.
So ground up beets and stuff like that to help with the gallbladder. And that's what I focus on. Mm-hmm. Maybe some enzymes to help with digestion, just to get the body working, give it the support it needs from real food and good quality stuff. So there's usually a few brands that I'm pretty gung-ho on versus something from, you know, GNC that might be synthetic. We do have to be careful of what supplements we're taking, because it might not be doing anything for you then.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Caitlin.
Oh, thank you.
I really enjoyed you.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
We learned so much.
Yeah, this was awesome.
This is so fun. You guys are great. And your passion, just, I can just see it in your eyes. You know, when I first met you guys. And so it's really nice to be with people that are just wanting to be healthy themselves and help others.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much.
Yes,
all right, listeners, get a hold of Caitlin if you want to change your diet.
Thanks for listening, too. Right.
Thank you, Cobb County. And we will see you next, or you'll hear us next month.
Absolutely.